You are listening to the Point Harbor Church podcast. Experience a place where you can grow in your faith, connect with others, and discover the story God has for your life. For more resources, visit us online at pointharbor.com.
Amen. Have a seat. Woo, that's good, huh? Good start to your Sunday morning. Football. We're in football season, but specifically, yeah. There's a football team up in D.C. I have heard. They can't figure out their name. But thanks, Daniel. But we're talking high school football. How many of you have a kid in playing high school football or a cheerleader? All right, going to ruin my illustration unless somebody raises their hand. All right, some of you do. How many of you go to high school? Thank you. How many of you go to high school football games? Okay, that's better. And you got Western Branch. Back in the day, my wife was a Churchland trucker. Yeah. And they had an arch rival, Western Branch. And you ask my wife, she'll be in the second service, about when she got busted for throwing eggs at the Western Branch girls. She won't admit it, but tell her she's in God's house and cannot lie. High school football. Dude named Ed happens to be a pastor, got an interesting spiritual life lesson at a high school football game. During the third quarter, Ed's daughter, Landra, comes up to him, and she's in grade school. She goes, "Dad, can I have some money to buy some candy?" And Dad's, he's dad. He's like, "Okay, candy, okay, here's $5. Go buy yourself some candy." She comes back with a little sack of Skittles. And Ed watches her as she starts eating those Skittles. And those Skittles look pretty good. And Ed says, "Hey, Landra, can I have some Skittles?" And she says what? "No." He's like, "Come on, just a couple of Skittles. They're mine." Ed's little daughter didn't understand several things. She didn't understand, number one, the fact that her dad was the one that bought the Skittles for her. She didn't also realize her dad's strength. Daddy is strong enough to forcibly take those Skittles from her and eat every one of them in front of her. The dad giveth and the dad taketh away. Also, number three, she didn't understand the fact that her dad could have gone up to the concession stand, put 300 bags of Skittles on his debit card, come back and just buried her in Skittles. So many Skittles, she couldn't have eaten them in a year. He could have done that because he's her father. We all have Skittles, don't we? Now, Ron, I need you to bring me my bag that I forgot right there. Quit drinking your coffee in church. What's the matter with you, man? All right, he's old, but he's slow, so he's... Don't talk, just obey. I have a bag of Skittles, all right? Now, some of you have a pretty nice pile of Skittles in your life. You got a good job, good benefits, right? You got some nice Skittles. Others of you, you're like, "Man, I wish I had that." But you got in a medium sack of Skittles, right? Don't raise your hands. Some of you are like, "Oh man, I'm barely getting by." You got a little sack of Skittles. But you got Skittles. Every single Skittle comes from our Father. Comes from our Father. Our loving Father comes to us and he says, "Hey, I got you those Skittles. I provided those Skittles. Why don't you bring me some of those Skittles?" Not the whole bag, just a few Skittles. And what's our reaction, some of us? "No, they're mine." God says, "Hey, I made those Skittles. Those Skittles come from ingredients that I provided. I own those Skittles. I let you enjoy those Skittles." And like Landra, we fail to understand several things. Number one, God is the one who let us have them. They're his Skittles. If he wants to, he could take all the Skittles that we have just like that. The dad giveth and the dad taketh away. Number two, we don't understand the fact that if God wanted to, he could rain on us so many Skittles that we wouldn't know what to do with them. He's that powerful. We're just finishing a mini-series we're calling Stewards Together, and some of you are like, "What in the world? I'm still not getting the Skittles." Hang on, you will. And this is a revolutionary to a lot of you. This could be the message that fixes you in the financial department if you have ears to hear. Sad thing is, a lot of you don't. Some of you have been here 20 years. You still don't have ears to hear on this thing. You might have ears to hear in baptism. You got baptized. That's cool. Ears to hear in salvation. You trusted Jesus as your Savior. But in finances, you still don't have ears to hear. You get a hard heart there for some reason because you think that they're all your Skittles. You do. And we're using a real simple object lesson to teach a huge, huge truth. And on the way in, I always pray for pastors in this church on the way in. And one thing I prayed is, God, I pray, and one thing I pray every day is that as I armor up with the full armor of God, Lord, I pray that as I take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, that you will help me, that you will avail me the power to tear down strongholds. Because there are strongholds in here. You might not be living in adultery, hopefully not, but you got a stronghold in your finances. You got a stronghold. It says we take into captivity everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. And some of you have the mind not of Christ, but of the world, if not Satan, in this thing of finances. And it's hurting you. It's hurting you. You could be helped so much. People talk, oh, the giving message. Oh, I just got to endure the giving message. No. God wants so much for you. He wants to bless you. He wants to bless you, but to get those blessings, the one he wants for you, we have to get this fact. It's all his. It's all his. I don't own anything. In two texts here, I love this, Psalm 24, the earth is whose? Well, it's the Lord's. And the fullness thereof, everything in the earth, the world, in case you didn't get that, and those who dwell therein. God owns all souls. Haggai 2:8, the silver is mine, God says, this is God talking, and the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts, all stuff. God says, I own all souls, I own all stuff, it's all mine. I just let you utilize it, I want you to enjoy it. You don't really own anything, you're just the manager of it. And if you're a faithful manager, I will probably trust you with more. It's a biblical truth. There's some of us, we don't have ears to hear. And you might be saying, okay, John, well, this thing about, you know, being blessed, what is being blessed really? Here's the best definition I could come up with. To be blessed means to be on the receiving end of the tangible and intangible favor of God. To be on the receiving end of the tangible, this is not a name it, claim it message at all. I don't believe in that mess. Sometimes God puts you through hell to make a point or to grow you, all right? You're not gonna go around rich and wealthy and all that stuff if you are under the favor of God, but in the valley, God says, I will be with you. I'll be with you. Though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will be with you. And my rod and my staff will correct you, and I'll protect you. That's the favor of God. The tangible, yeah, the Skittles, and the intangible, that's peace in the midst of the storm. That's a peace that passes understanding that some of you don't have. And you could be blessed if you would trust God and if you would get in that blessing zone, the tangible, and receive the tangible. Those are the things that most of us pray for, and intangible. Emotional health, some of you here, your emotional health is shot. You're medicated, self-medicated or whatever. And God says, I want to give you emotional health. I want to give you emotional healing. I would love to do that. If I live in the blessing zone, I get the specific blessings of God, tangible and intangible. If I live outside of the blessing zone, like many of you here are, then hopefully, some of the blessings of people around that God is blessing them spills over on you. Maybe you've got a family member who's blessed of God. Maybe you've got a mom or dad who's blessed of God. Do you realize we are living on the spillover blessings of our forefathers? We live in America. That's just a spillover blessing. We didn't earn that. We didn't do anything for it. We were just born here. It's a spillover blessing. But spillover blessings are not the best blessings. So how do I get, John, in this blessing zone place? I have to realize that God is the blesser. Everything I have is God's. You got an Elon Musk pile of Skittles? They're God's. Elon, I don't think, knows this, but they're God's. You just have a little bit of Skittles? Still God's, right? Sad fact, though. I'm going to get real serious with you. A large block of us in here don't live in the blessing zone. The majority of you don't. How do you know that? I'll tell you. A lot of us, where do we live? We don't live in the blessing zone. We live in the land of Ing. Owning, earning, clothing, housing, bling, bling, ka-ching, ka-ching. You're living somewhere in the land of Ing. That's where you're living. You're not really living in the blessing zone. And God wants far better for you. He wants far better. He wants something far better for you. But that takes faith, people. God wants to put his bless on your Ing. He wants to put his super on your natural. Now, let me get real with you, Point Harbor. Let me just get real. 74% of you, of the people that show up in here, if stats are stat, my stats are right, and I think they are living in the land of Ing. 74% of you, you might have been here for years, zoned out. That means 26% of you live in the blessing zone. You nailed it. You're not perfect, but there are some things about God that you understand, and you shoot that arrow of faith, and you're in the zone. And things, you're going to have trials in your life. You're going to have problems still, but now you've got God working in a way that you feel the tangible and intangible blessings of God. Sometimes you're on your face before God going, why? Why? But you know you have a God who is going to come through for you. 26% of you are zoned in. Just 26. Just like a quarter of you. Three quarters of you almost are zoned out. You're living in this land of Zing. I got the hard data to prove it. And we'll get to that. Here's a key question that could change your life. How can I move? How do I move from the land of Ing, where I'm all worried about housing and driving and clothing and working, to the blessed place, the zone? It all goes back to those Skittles. What am I doing with my bag or bags of Skittles that God has placed in my life? God talks a lot about Skittles. Now, he never uses the word Skittles. Don't go, man, in the Greek, it must be Skittles. We're making a point here. He talks a lot about it in the Bible. I did some research this week. I always, when I come to a message like this, I'm always wondering because I hear it. You know, man, John, I tell you what, I came, you know, last October and you were preaching on giving, and I come, you know, in May and you were preaching on giving, and now I come back and you're preaching on giving. You're always preaching about giving. No, I preached three times on giving. It's good to see you back. But, I thought, okay, I have a spreadsheet of all, I've been here since 1999. I have a spreadsheet for every year of my planning and my messages. Every message on money or giving, I put in a green font so it stands out, so I know how often. If it's a series, I put them all in green. And I have been here 1,248 weeks. Some of you are like, and we're getting tired of you. Of those weeks, I have talked about Skittles, et cetera, 73 of the 1,248, which is just under 6% of the time. I haven't even given a tithe of messages on tithing. So, if you check, you'll discover the New Testament is about one out of six verses on stuff or Skittles. When Jesus is talking or teaching, one out of every six is about stuff, money, Skittles. Jesus talked more about money and handling it than he did about heaven, hell, prayer, faith combined. 30% of his parables were talking about this stuff of Skittles and how we handle this stuff, because why? It's a measure of my heart. So understanding this, I'm like, wow, only 6% of the messages. Here's what I'm gonna do for the rest of the year. I'm gonna talk about money every week. I'm going to make up for lost time. I repent, Lord. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm just kidding. But I do love to talk about giving. And here's why. It goes straight to your heart. It goes straight to your heart for where you're what? Say it to me. Say it louder. There your heart will be also. There is a correlation. There's a correlation between your stuff and your heart, your Skittles and your heart. There is. This is Jesus' words. You can't help that. You can't help that. And Jesus never said, yeah, John, you know, money's the root of all evil. No, that's not what the Bible says. What does it say? The love of money. Money is just, you know, it's a tangible thing that has no morality. It's amoral. You can spend your money here, you know, and supporting missions, or you can spend that same money buying crack. Money don't care. Money don't care. But God cares. So, I've got to talk about this stuff because this is going to help all of us. And by the way, folks, this is going to be fun. It is. Say it to me. It's going to be fun. Some of you had to say that by faith. You're like, he's a liar. He's a liar. Here's why it's going to be fun. Some of you, for the first time, are going to experience, you're going to move yourself into the blessing zone. This is not a name it, claim it thing. This is God, finally, me inviting God into my financial picture. Some of you, John, I've given Jesus my heart. When are you going to give him your wallet? Serious. You're all about Jesus having your heart, but Jesus, man, you're hoping that God doesn't look at your bank account, your giving statement. Admit it, folks. Now, don't raise your hand, but admit it. That's true. You need to repent in the air of your finances. You need to invite God into your finances. And so you need to get in the zone. Others of you need to get back in the zone. You were there, and for whatever reason, you backslid. We'd call it backsliding. And you know, you need to get back to your own personal Bethel in this thing of finances. And those of you already living, you 26%ers, already living in the zone, you're saying right now, come on, what's taking you so long, you 74%? Come on. To get this, you've got to understand the difference between ownership and management, ownership and stewardship. This whole series has been on stewardship. It's not just I'm a steward of money. I'm a steward of everything. I'm a steward of my marriage. I'm a steward of my citizenship. I'm a steward of my body. Boy, I got a lot of pushback on that one. More than anything, almost, Pastor John's doing all this fat shaming. It's not what I was doing. I say, quit killing yourself. It's not your body. It's Jesus' body. Somebody like, I don't like that truth. All right. Ownership versus stewardship. And track with me. It's a theme from cover to cover in the Word of God. All right, so you ready to track? Say, ready to track. All right, God created everything. How much did he create? Everything. He put Adam and Eve in the garden. And he said, he didn't say, this is your garden. Here you go, title deed. No, he says, manage this for me, right? Enjoy it while you're at it. Was the garden cool? Yeah. Yeah. You're like, I've never seen it. Well, trust the Word of God. It was awesome. It was awesome. And God says, enjoy it. And God says, enjoy my garden. Enjoy my fruits. I got all these different kind of fruits. Enjoy each other. Woo. But there's one tree. Just one tree. The knowledge of good and evil. Don't enjoy that. That's mine. By you not taking of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you are worshiping me by obeying me. Okay, God, okay. Honor me by staying away from the tree. Got it. First things first. And God created everything. He made a week. What did God say about the week? One day. Give me one day. How many days? One day, honor me, worship me. What's he talking about? He's talking first things first. Then he goes to the New Testament. He goes, hey, by the way, that one day, give the first day to me. What's that first day? Sunday. It's Sunday, right? We give our first day of the week to God. We honor him. You dishonor God when you miss church, folks. You do. How about the children of Israel? So we're tracking through the Bible, all right? We got the creation. We got this all going on. We got the God saying, honor me with the Sabbath. And then now we're the children of Israel. They're on the edge of the promised land. They're ready to go in. They had 10 cities that they needed to conquer. And God says, all right, there's 10 cities you're going to. And 9 out of those 10, you know, the 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th, boom, you get everything. Just get everything. It's all, enjoy it, man. Enjoy it. Get all that stuff. First one, that's mine. That's mine. That's my city. City of Jericho. I want you to leave that alone. I want you to grab all the stuff in the city after you go in and you conquer it. Gold, silver, bling, bling, ka-ching, ka-ching, and make sure you bring it to my house of worship. First things first. Then the firstborn, Exodus in verse number, or chapter 13, the Lord said to Moses, consecrate, set apart to me all the firstborn. The firstborn. And whatever is the first to open the womb among the people of Israel, both of man and beast, is mine. Whose is it? It's God's. God says to the Israelites, hey, all right. And back in Bible times, the firstborn child, that was major. That was major. They were to be set apart for holy usage, given to God for his worship and his work. By the way, God sent his what? Firstborn son. First things first. So you've got the firstborn, and then you got the first fruits. Exodus, a little bit later, he says, the first of the first fruits of your land you shall, what's this word? Bring. It's going to be very substantial in a second. You shall bring into where? The house, to the TV evangelist? Just thought I'd throw that one in there. To the house of the Lord your God, where you are fed spiritually. The first of the first fruits. Now look at me, look at me. It says you shall what? Bring. He doesn't say give. He says bring, as in bring it back. Say it to me, bring. Bring. Bring of the first fruits. Are you tracking a theme here? There's a theme going through the whole word of God. Cain and Abel, they were Adam and Eve's sons. Cain brought an offering, this fruit stuff, to God. Abel brought his firstborn, an animal, a firstborn animal, sacrificed it to God. God, if you know your Bible, accepted Abel's offering, not Cain's. Now, I was always taught, and many of you were taught this, it's because Abel's offering was blood. You know, he had the flocks, and so it was blood. It pictures, you know, the Lamb of God, and I believe that's a part of it. But I don't believe that's all of it, all right? Cain, he just brought some fruit stuff. Now, I think because the text hints at more. In Genesis 4, and verse number 3, Cain brought, so remember he brought, so he did it right, he brought an offering of the fruit, interesting phraseology, of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the what? Firstborn. You'll notice here, it doesn't say he brought his first, can't spell, fruits, all right? He brought just some. And the Lord respected Abel. He appreciated Abel. He valued Abel and his offering. He did not respect Cain and his offering. And so you know what Cain, I think, did in my understanding, in my impression. Cain waits till all of his crops are in. He's looking around at his farmer's market type stuff. He goes, oh, man, this has been a pretty incredible year. I got all the crops in. Yeah. Oh, yeah, God. Oh, man. Well, I'll take a few Skittles to God. You know, he said we're supposed to bring, and so I'm going to bring, and I'll throw an apple and orange his way. I'll throw him a bone, like some of you do, leftovers, whatever's left. And God didn't accept it, because I do not respect that kind of giving. I don't respect it. Keep it. Keep it. There's no way, folks, for us to be blessed doing it that way, doing that stuff. The Bible tells me I'm to bring, not give. We're not talking about giving here. There's giving has a part. You look at it in your point groups this weekend, but we should bring our first fruits where? We bring them into the house of the Lord. Now, there was no house of the Lord at this time, but into the house of the Lord, our firstborn, our first fruits, first things first. Tracking the theme, Proverbs 3. Honor the Lord. What am I to do with... Honor the Lord. How do I honor the Lord? With your wealth. If I don't honor the Lord, what is the opposite of honor? Dishonor. If I'm not honoring the Lord with my wealth and I'm just bringing him leftovers, I am dishonoring him. Those of you that feel bad and put in a 20, just because you feel bad and you think, well, just keep it. Just keep it. Unless you're going to honor the Lord and do it his way. Now, again, when I was a new Christian, I was learning this stuff. It took me a while it took me a while. I didn't just start tithing, you know, right after I got baptized. But it was within months. So honor the Lord with your wealth. That's not, don't honor the Lord. Well, John, I got a bumper sticker that says, honk if you love Jesus. I love you. That's a dumb bumper sticker. I like the bumper sticker that says, tithe if you love Jesus. Any old fool can honk. If we honor the Lord with our wealth, God says, here, I'm going to, let me show you how to do it. Honor the Lord with your wealth. And then he says specifically with the first fruits of how much? All your crops. And then if you do that, here's what I'm going to do. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing. How many of you feel like a life with barns overflowing? Blessings, tangible enchant. Only like 3 of you, okay. Rest of you, and your vats brim over with new wine. There's nothing wrong with having things. God doesn't say, in the Bible, he used Abraham. He made Abraham filthy rich. He also used the widow who gave all of her, you know, and she was very, very poor. He uses everybody in between. It's up to him to decide how to allot that stuff. But I don't want God, you know, keeping stuff that I really need in my life because I'm an idiot in my finances. Some of you, I love you, you're idiots in your finances. You are. If you know what to do and you don't, you're being an idiot. I'll never come back. Well, you heard it once. Go down and get a preacher to tell you what you want to hear. I'm not trying to get rid of anybody, but I'm kind of called to tell the truth. All right, so first things first. Part of the Bible, the Bible is telling me that the first part of my income should go to the house of God. I'm not talking about giving. We're talking about bringing. All right, now, I am going to be hungry, I know, after I preach two services. I'm always tired and hungry, so I need a $100 bill. $100 bill. Who's got a $100 bill? Thank God bless you, Lee. Give Lee a hand. $100. Now, I can't wait till lunch. And you're like, oh my goodness, that was very speedy. And he gave, Pastor, he didn't give me nothing. What do you mean he didn't give you nothing? He gave you a $100 bill. I saw it with my eye. Well, your eyes lied to you because you don't know the context. This wasn't Lee's $100 bill. I gave it to him right before the service. I did not take his money. I told him, I said, hey, he did not give it to me. It was already mine. I said, hey, Lee, I need you to do something for me. What's that? All right, I'm going to say, hey, I need a $100 bill. I want you to be fast. And he was fast, wasn't he? I want you to be fast. He was almost too fast. People are like, this was rigged. And it was. But I need you to give this back to me. He has no problem giving it back to me because it wasn't his. Now, that's why God says, bring it. Bring it back. He brought it back. When God says, bring it in your life, bring it, what do you say? Do you say, oh yeah, Lord, here, because it's whatever you want. It's not mine, it's yours. And so, or do you say, mine, it's mine. 74% of you say that. All right, now let's expand the lesson. I need $10. $10, I'll give you a $100 bill for $10. First one up here, $10, don't break a leg, don't punch anybody in the face. All right, you are a very poor church, aren't you? Look at Lee, he's coming back. Do you got it? Is it 10? Two fives. All right, $100. There you go. He didn't know I was going to do that. Carrie, he beat you. So let's say I'm God for a second. All right, just imagine that. I know it's very tough. Isn't that a sweet deal? Huh? I do that all day long. Uh-huh. God says, I'm going to bless your life. I'm God. I'm going to take care of you. I've given you abilities and your stuff. Enjoy that 90%. Enjoy the rest. I give you $100, and all I at minimum, I just require 10% of it back. That's what I'm calling you to do. That's the minimum worship requirement. It's holy. It's sacred. It's set apart. Is that a sweet deal or what? Somebody say, sweet deal. Yeah. Now, God being God could have said, here's the 10, give me the 100. You live on the 10%. But he doesn't do that typically. And our God's a loving God. He wants to bless us. He does. You're like, well, Pastor John, but that's the church's money. No, that wasn't the church's money. That was my money. And I want you to enjoy it. You need to send me pictures of the steak. Because if I do it for the church's money, it kind of ruins the illustration, right? It's a good thing we don't have four services. You getting it? Are you getting it? It's really pretty simple. It just takes faith. Interestingly, don't go there, but in Hebrews 11, it talks about Cain and Abel's offering, and it makes the distinction. The distinction in Hebrews 11, I think it's verse 4, says this: Abel offered by faith. That was the distinction. Cain just said, yeah, here, whatever. Abel offered by faith. It took faith. Some of you are like, oh, John, it's going to take faith. Exactly. I don't know if I can. I can't afford it. Awesome. That's even better. Those of you that can afford it, there's like three of you in the room. and you were financially set and you could start tithing today and you wouldn't feel it at all in your bottom line. Most of the rest of us, we have budgeted our lives, you know, for 100%, haven't we? God bless you if you're young here, because I started when I was young in the Navy. And then it was a whole lot easy, even though it hurt. It wasn't, some of you know, you're pulling down your paycheck $4,000 every 2 weeks. And you're like, oh my goodness. And that's before taxes. That's gross, not net. It's gonna take a whole lot of what? Faith. And that's what God blesses. That's what God blesses. And listen, in my understanding, there is no way you will ever, ever, ever live in the blessing zone unless you are bringing the 10% of your income to the local church. You're just after my money. Ha! It's worse than that. I'm after you. I'm after you. God isn't just after the wallet and the pants. He's after the man or the woman in the pants. He wants all of you, and he has not gotten all of you if he hasn't got your money, because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It's how we're wired. God's reasons for me tithing. I want you to get this. First, God has made money a test of my heart. He has. And according to, if our stats are right, 74% of you are failing this test. You got no right to bring this. Oh, yeah, I do. I got every right in the world. I am called to disciple you, to help you to become more and more like Jesus. I am called to teach you the truth, not just part of the truth, but the hard truths. That's what I'm called to do. You are called, remember we looked at this a couple weeks ago, you are called to look at it, and if I am preaching the word of God, you're called to obey it. That's what you're called to do. I know it's a tough truth. But I love the fact that I have in my hands the eternal word of God. And if I say, thus saith the John, then you can disregard that. But if I say, thus saith the Lord, then you reject it at your own peril. And some of you, your finances are so screwed up in your life, or you don't have those intangible blessings, because God says, yeah, you're going to get a little spillover from whoever. But I'm not working directly in your finances, and I could. It would be just amazing. Second, God has made money as a test of my tangible worship. Write this down somewhere on your sheet. Worship equals obedience. Worship doesn't necessarily equal this. Woo! Worship doesn't equal necessarily this. Doesn't even equal this. Worship at its core equals obedience. When I have to obey God, it's something I am scared to death of, or I don't like, but I say, Lord, I submit, I surrender, I worship to your will. That's when I'm really worshiping. And some of you are not at all worshiping. You might come here and you worship via some words and on a screen. And you might worship because you got a little, you know, meme or a bumper sticker. You might worship because you pray at the restaurant before your meal. But you don't really, really, really worship where God says your heart is so attached to. Which is telling. Third, God's plan for financing his kingdom work is through the local church. God's plan for financing his kingdom is through the local church. Let me make it personal just for a second. When Robin and I bring in, and we do, Pastor John, do you tithe? Yes, I'm more than tithe. You can ask Sarah. She won't tell you how much, but she'll tell you. And by the way, our whole staff tithes. If they don't, they get in trouble. I've told Sarah I want quarterly reports. You don't trust your staff? I don't trust anybody. You get what you inspect, not what you expect. And I just do it, you know, because, you know, some folks, they come from a pastor, a different, or they're going through it. And if they're going through it, I want to help them out, right? So we track it. I track that. If they're going to be paid by the tithes of God's people, their salary comes from that. Shouldn't they be a tither, yes or no? Yes. Oh, yeah, they should. Yes, they should. And every financial deacon, we check their tithing too, because they're handling the money. But Robin and I, we tithe, we more than tithe, we give to missions. We bring the first fruits of our Skittles, our income to Point Harbor. What's going on? First, God sees our heart. He sees as a tangible expression of real worship. And then his local church is financed. And then God supernaturally blesses the other 90%. This is not some television preacher stuff. This is word of God, I can prove it in your face stuff. But it takes faith. And that first 10% has the octane that lights it all up. This baptisms, one in this service and what, 8, 9 in the second service? That's ROI, return on investment. A lot of churches never have anybody baptized all year long, which means they don't reach anybody for Christ or very few people for Christ. Here, we reach people for Christ here. We're baptizing people here. We're baptizing people in Cuba in that church that your giving is financing. We're baptizing people regularly there. We're baptizing people in Nicaragua, people coming to Christ in Nicaragua and in Peru because of God's people who get it, the 26%. Why don't you join them? Here's my question. Do you want to live with 90% of your income supernaturally blessed, God involved, or 100% of your income not blessed? That's what you have to ask yourself. What's the opposite of being blessed? Being cursed. That's your option. For me and my house, it's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer. Let's go back to my favorite dude in the Bible, one of my favorite dudes, Joshua. Joshua, if you remember, I talked about him. He led the nation of Israel in the promised land. God said, you're going to take it, but you have to fight for it. There's these 10 cities I want you to take. That first one, Jericho, you're going to march around the walls and blow them. You don't have to even hardly fight. It's going to fall down. You go in there, but you do not touch the stuff. Don't touch the gold. Don't touch the silver. You bring that all back. That's the first. It's the first fruits. You bring that back to the tabernacle. For my worship. We're going to make worship instruments out of it. We're going to use it for ministry. You do that. And Joshua obeyed. But there was one dude that thought, God won't see me. And he stole, not a whole lot, a little silver over here, a little gold over here, a really cool looking garment, you know, it was outsourced. They got it from like, you know, way across the world. And he saw it and he's like, oh man. And he took them and he hid them. He didn't flaunt them. He hid them. Like some of you are hiding from God the stuff that you're doing, but God saw. God saw to the point that the next town, Ai, he said, all right, Ai is number two. He didn't tell anybody what happened. Ai is number two, little town. They got their butt kicked. People died. And Joshua's like, wait a second, everybody's weeping. And God says, get off your face. There is sin in the camp. Somebody has touched the holy things. They're like, what? And they narrow it down and they find this dude, Achan. And he admits to it. And this is being the Old Testament. They put that dude to death. That was rough stuff. Rough stuff. God says, hey, the other 9 cities, enjoy that. Have a blast. But that stuff in Jericho, the first city, the first fruits, it's mine. You bring it to me. It's an act of worship. You're saying God's number one. My God's number one. What did God do? He cursed Achan. You're cursed, you're robbing me, you're stealing from me. That's pretty harsh, John. I'm just telling you what God said. But remember, we're tracking this theme. Now, I want you to turn in your Bibles to Malachi 3:10. He's expanding the theme in Malachi 3:10. It's page 891 in a blue Bible in front of you if you don't have a Bible. 891, it's the last book in the Old Testament. If you go, just go to Matthew, those of you that don't know where Malachi is, you go to Matthew and go just ahead one book. Or you can go to the table of contents, all right? Malachi 3 and 10. I'm going to have it on the screen because I want you to see this. I want you to see this as God expands this theme. And he says it's pretty harsh. Are you there? Say, I'm there. Okay. All right. Page 891. And I want you to write a few things in your Bible. God starts out. He's having this conversation back and forth. And he says, will a man rob God? All right. So I circled rob God. Will a man rob God? Huh. Yet you, this is 74% of you here, are robbing me. I circled robbing me. But you say, what? Man, how can I rob God? Here's how you rob me. In your tithes, and some verses have it, offerings, contributions. That's above a tithe. It's things that, you know, God says, all right, we need to do this. It's a project or whatever. We've done this when we raised money for Earl. But God says, and he throws that in. Tithes. How much are tithes? 10% of what? Gross. All right, so you're not giving that. And you're not giving any offerings either. You're basically robbing me. That's pretty heavy. Now, what happened? Here's the word. You are what? Say it louder. Cursed with a curse. A curse from God. Curse on your finances. For you're robbing me. I ain't going to bless that. I ain't going to bless that 74%. I ain't going to bless that. I'll ask you one more time. Are you living on 90% of your income that's blessed, that's redeemed? God is working. He said he's going to work by faith. You're trusting him. It might be tight, but you're like, okay, God, I can do more with 90% blessed than I can with 100% cursed. Rolling the dice. Living on 100% of your income that's not blessed. So God says, hey, here's what you do to rectify this. Here's what you do to repent. Bring, there's that word, how much of the tithe? What is a full tithe? 10% of 10% of gross. Into the storehouse. This is the place where you get spiritually fed. Back then it was the tabernacle. Why? That there may be food in my house, that we may do ministry. So verse 10 again, he says, bring it, not give it. Again, we're not talking about giving necessarily here. That if that's over the 10%, that's, you know, free will, we call them free will offerings like we took for Earl. That's awesome. But we're talking about bringing. Here's something that a lot of you don't get. You really don't appreciate the church. You don't. And you're here, and I'm glad that you're here. But you don't really, you know, you could miss church, whatever. Church is nice. It's kind of like a club, a spiritual club. Yeah, this church I go down to there, yeah. But God, this is God's heart, says the church of God, what did it cost him to buy it? His own blood. The blood of Jesus on the cross. Dying on the cross for our sins, the sins of the church. Everybody makes up the church, the redeemed. He died on the cross. He went to that grave for 3 days and 3 nights. He came up out of that grave victorious. God says, that's my heart. You want to know my heart? I see your heart by your lack of giving. You want to know my heart? My heart is the church of God. The local church is God's plan A to reach the world. There is no plan B. There is no plan B. And then the church is not perfect. I get that because it's made up of us. But you think God wants to bless the local church? Do you think so? Yes or no? Yes. Now, there are some that he's written Ichabod over the door because they have gone away from the word of God. They're just preaching, you know, a little happy talk stuff, avoiding the tough truths. I don't think he wants to bless those because those have just kind of said, we don't really want to be a church. We just want to be some spiritual woke club. But God wants to bless the church that is believing his word and trying to do his will. That means he wants that ministry financed, just like the tabernacle back in the day, because there's spiritual return on investment. So how is God going to bless the church? Here's how. He will bless a whole lot of people who make up that church. He will bless them in their lives financially, and then they come and they bring at least the minimum worship requirement of the tithe to the church, and then the church does the ministries, the local ministries, because of that there may be food in my house. That's what God is doing. God says, I've blessed you to bless the thing dearest to my heart that I shed my blood for, the church. Going back to 2 weeks ago, we're either clogs or conduits. We're either letting things flow through our lives, and God says, I'll let you keep 90% of it. But that 10%, I want you to let it flow, or more as I work on your heart. But some of us are clogged up. Malachi 3:10 again, the whole thing, or the last part of it. It says, so bring. Do what? Bring. The how much tithe? The full tithe. Right, is this God's word or John's word? This is God's word. Into the storehouse. I don't have time to go here, but I'm going to anyway, just a little bit. Somebody's like, I hear it. Oh, John, that's just Old Testament. That's Old Testament. We're not under the law. Tithing was before the law, during the law, and recommended, blessed after the law. It's boom, boom, boom. It's not just law. It's not just in the law. I believe in grace giving. When people tell me that, they typically, when they believe in grace giving, they believe in, you know, not as much giving. I tell you what, as a redeemed believer in Jesus, I don't want to give less than a Jew back in the day had to give when he brought his sheep to have its throat cut on the altar. I want to at least give that minimum, if not more, in grace. If you want to talk about grace giving. All right? So don't send me any emails, because I'll just be nice. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse. Oh, here's one. Oh, you're gonna, let me see. Oh yeah, I'm only, yeah, I ain't doing bad. All right. Some of you are gonna say, and you look at that text in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, where it talks about giving. And you're gonna see that, especially in your point groups, and you're gonna say, wait a second. The Bible says, you know, I should give, you know, what I want to give. As I think in my heart, then I should give and I should be a joyful giver. And I'm not a joyful giver, so God says that I could keep all my money. Again, you are totally missing it. That whole context, this is just free, that whole context in 1 Corinthians 8 and 9 is not talking about a tithe. It's talking about a special offering of the church in Jerusalem whose folks were dying because they didn't have any food. It's a special offering like the one we took for Earl, and that's the context. So let a man give joy. Yeah, I want to give joyfully to that. He said also sacrificially. But he said, hey, there, you figure out how much you can give. But the tithe is presumed for the local church. This was going to another church who had folks who were starving. Two different things. All right? Just in case I get that email. All right. That was free. Say, thank you, John, for free truth. All right. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse. This is a place of worship. That there may be food in my house who might do ministry. And thereby, how? By bringing the full tithe, put me to the what? When I do this, I put God to the test. God's the only place in the Bible he says to test me. But here he says, come on, I dare you, I double dog dare you. You gotta take a double dog dare. Put me to the test, says the Lord's hope. Here's what I'm gonna do. I'll open the windows of heaven for you. I'll pour down on you a blessing. Talk about being blessed, until there is no more need. Woo! Hallelujah. Anybody like to live that? Some of you are. I told you I had some hard data to prove the 76-24% split. 76% of you, if it's true, and I think it is, hearing my voice, living in the land of Ing, owning, clothing, driving, zoned out. Just 24% of you zoned in. How do you know that, John? How do you know that? Very simple. This last week, I went and looked at each one of your giving records for the past year. Ha! I'm kidding. You should have seen your faces. Oh, dear God. A few of you almost went into defib. Oh, clear. We simply calculated the number of regular families here with the median income in this area compared it to weekly giving. I know it's not perfect, but it's probably pretty close. And so I want you, the 76th percentile, to move into the blessing zone. I want you to grow spiritually. I want you to see God doing amazing. I want you to have to use faith where you're like, oh man, we're tithing, we can't afford it. And I want you to then pray, you have not because you ask not. And so I want you to see God at work in your finances. Some of you, some of your kids have never seen God at work in your finances because you've had a decent job since they were cognizant of life. They've always had decent stuff, decent clothing. They've had all the cool stuff. They got their iPhones, their iPads, etc. It would be good for them to come up against the wall and see you have to pray. See, you have to get with God to get the things you need. American kids are spoiled. By the way, so are you. So am I. That's another reason why I do not like to go on. I like to go on mission trips. I just don't like the getting there. I don't like TSA violating me, looking at me with their scans, taking stuff out of my packet. My one time I went through. This is. Oh, I started. So now you're gonna wonder: is he running drugs? No. I went through Norfolk, and they popped me. And they called a cop over. It's always bad when they call a cop. And so they're, that's hers, this is your bag. That's my bag, yeah. We're on the way to a preacher's conference. He pulls out a fully loaded Colt 45 magazine. Colt, not the beverage that some of you get at Bullets. Yeah, that went down very poorly. So I have now on file, I'm on file. I'm not on the no-fly list, but I'm like, it was just the bag I used to go shooting with, and then I'm like, oh, I'm going to Nicaragua, or no, I'm going to preacher's conference. Let me just throw stuff in there. Always check your bags. All right, don't know how I got there. I want you to move to the blessing zone of faith, to move to where many of us are. And it can happen today. But you know what it's going to take? Faith. It takes a faith-filled, obedience-actuated, spiritually driven, one-time decision. You need to just right now. Don't think about it. Don't pray about it. Again, you don't need to pray about tithing. You pray about giving offerings. Lord, what would you have me to do above what you have mandated for me worship-wise before the law, during the law, and after the law? But the tithe, you don't need to pray about it. You don't need to pray about obedience. You just need to do it. So you need to quit being so spiritual. Like, oh, I need to pray about this, brother. Shut up. Just obey God's clear word. Just do it. Some of you have been here members for years and years and years. And you haven't got this yet. You're in the 70, what is it, 76%? So, hit the QR code. You can do this on the little one that's in your seat back too, but the QR code will take you the connection card. Go down here and it's, you know, it's the decisions you need to make, but I'm going to start tithing. A bunch of you did last week. I put you on my prayer list. I'm going to pray specifically. So, no, Satan's going to attack you. He's going to attack you. You need faith. So I'm going to pray specifically for you and those of you who are serving. You, and many of you filled that out. I'm praying for you because I know Satan's going to attack you because you're making spiritual decisions. And then start it. Start it. I don't know how to give. We have four ways here. We have something, and I don't know. I lost it. Dang it, I lost it. But it was it's this cool thing called an offering envelope. We have them. One of our guys came to me. He only gives in the offering envelopes. And he goes, you were supposed to send me the offering envelopes, and you guys quit sending me offering envelopes. I'm like, well, we'll rectify that quickly. He was upset that he didn't have his offering envelopes. So we have those if you do it old school style and you say, I need to worship God by putting it in the offering box. And that's cool. And they're by the offering boxes and in your seat backs. But also there are these other ways. We do it website. We do it website. And I made a one-time decision years ago. And I just automate the important. I put it on auto, just like I do my bills. If your car payment is important enough for you not to forget it and put it on automatic payments, then I reckon Jesus is. Some of you aren't sure. You're like, I don't know if Jesus is that important. Listen to me. Today could be the biggest spiritual victory that you've ever had in your life besides your salvation and your baptism. The biggest one, because it is the only one that he talks about so attached to my heart. On the way out, we're going to give you Skittles. I want you to take these Skittles. You can eat them if you want, but I want you to keep the package. Just like some of you kept these and some of you put them on your refrigerator. I saw pictures online of that. You know, I need to remind myself to unclog myself. Remind yourself that you didn't get these Skittles. You didn't buy these Skittles. These aren't really your Skittles. And these, you know, God's. And he says, enjoy those Skittles, man. All those different flavors. It's awesome. But bless me. With a tithe of the Skittles. All right. Now, how about you? You're sitting there consuming in the stands of life, consuming all your Skittles, all of them. Today you've heard God's clear word. Bring it, bring it, bring it. Honor me, bring it. Start honoring me. What is going to be your response? What is going to be your response? Again, you don't need to pray on this. You can if you want to, but God's like, I already told you, it's clear right there. God, lead me. I've already led you. Read your Bible. God, we pray that you would do that. Make us bring it. Make us honor you. Forgive us when we don't. God, there's a whole bunch of folks, obviously, that need to repent today. Get it right. There's some folks that need to repent and get back to getting it right. And it's going to take faith. But you were honored in faith. You said without whatever is without faith is sin. So God, I pray that you would give the faith as you do and make us respond. And with trembling fingers even, click those things online and that little box that says, I'm going to start tithing, and then keep our words. And Lord, I pray that you will show up in a huge way. I pray that you will confound Satan in these people's finances. And I pray you will give huge victories and help them a year from now to go, wow, ha, look at what God's done. Look at what God has done. He's done so much more than 90% blessed than 100% that quite possibly is cursed. Do that. And we'll praise you for it. In Jesus' precious name, all God's tithers and folks who are going to start said,
amen.
Amen. Pastor Dan.